Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, building a household of faith on a foundation of grace.
Good morning. Am I turned on yet? Testing. Good. All right. Well, I have a handout. I'm going to get a couple of my kids to come hand out. If anybody wants to hand out. I think I may have broken a Grace Heritage record with this. I'm not sure. I don't know what the most amount of fill in the blanks has ever been. This is definitely overachieving if you fill every blank out. You can not fill any of them out, and it's just got some scripture references for later. There are 30. Does that sound like a lot? 30 blanks. Don't be overwhelmed. So, raise your hand if you need a handout. Luke, this side of the room, maybe? Oh. All right. I've got one. Thank you, though. You can hold on to those. Just actually put them on the table in the back, please. All right. I'll open us in prayer. Lord, use me in this time to do your will for your glory. I ask you to give the gift of saving faith to everyone in this room, to allow them to believe and know the gospel is true, and to respond in obedience with holy fear of sin and confident hope in your promises. Grow us by your means and by your word. Draw us to Christ today and each day for as long as we live. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Amen. All right. My name's Heath Cates, if you don't know me. I've been at this church the amount of years the church has been here, minus one. But I think this might be the first time I've taught adult Bible study. And we'll be teaching on the doctrine of saving faith. So, if you have the 1689, we're continuing the study. We'll be in chapter 14. If you're not particularly learned, or you just take a second, that's XIV, which is on page 32 of the hipsterized cover version. I'm not sure about the green modern version, but that's where we'll be. There's three paragraphs. By way of kind of a bridge from previous studies, just real quick, previous studies have shown that we are not naturally righteous. To gain eternal life and become God's children, we must receive Christ's righteousness. In Romans 3:21-25, we see that the righteousness of God comes to us apart from the law and is received by faith. So I'll just read that, Romans 3:21-25. Now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. All right. This probably will be the most you've ever seen the top of my head. I'll try to look at you guys, but I got a lot of reading to do today. So forgive me there. So the source of today's study, like I said, the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith, chapter 14, will cover all three paragraphs on saving faith. So I'll read paragraph 1. The grace of faith by which the elect are enabled to believe so that their souls are saved is the work of the Spirit of Christ in their hearts. Faith is ordinarily produced by the ministry of the Word. By this same ministry and by the administration of baptism and the Lord's Supper, prayer, and other means appointed by God, faith is increased and strengthened. One thing as I've studied for this that I've kind of found is we really could just teach these studies on the London Baptist Confession of Faith by reading the paragraphs really slowly. they cover everything, right? So there's not a lot of novel things. But the thing that does happen is it's a big rabbit hole. We look at the scripture references and they lead to other scriptures and other truths, right? And it draws it back around. So I don't know how long you could have given me for this where I would not have just kept having to, okay, I got to stop. Let's go back. Stop and go back, right? Which has been amazing. This is a particular doctrine of saving faith. So we'll just start with what is saving faith. And we're, in this paragraph, primarily looking at the grace and origin of saving faith. Saving faith is a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. So that means it is not of our power or our effort. There's nothing that we can do to produce it. Almost every commentary I looked at or everything I saw written about this uses the word wrought there. How many of you use wrought this week? Anybody? Nobody. W-R-O-U and other letters. I mean, I was almost there. Basically means produced, right? So the Holy Spirit produces saving faith. Saving faith is instrumental in salvation. Faith is how we receive Christ. And saving faith isn't just knowing facts about Jesus. It's loving him, trusting him, and depending on him completely. So I've got a lot of scriptures in here to read. I will probably ask from time to time for some hands to read, but I'm going to read a bunch of them just for the sake of time. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 shows that true faith leads to confession and witness. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so also speak. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. We're emphasizing again that supernatural gift, not our own effort. A little bit longer section here, Romans 5, 1 through 9. Stick with me. Illustrates justification, peace with God, and hope through faith. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ has died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for the righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even die. But God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. So another reason we have loads of scripture here, there are many other parts of the confession on scripture, on the authority of scripture. Saving faith really pulls a lot of these things together into kind of a moment in time, and we'll get there. But I don't want to, there's too many good ones to leave them all out. But that's saving faith. Just to recap there, it's a gift that's given to us, right? It's an instrument in salvation that enables us to believe, but it's not just knowing facts. It's loving, trusting, and depending on him completely. So shifting slightly here, it's still in the first paragraph, to the origin and means of faith. So what does that mean? The origin of saving faith is, it's the Spirit of Christ producing faith in our hearts. And then the means. So it's a gift given to us, but it's given to us through ordinary means, right? You're currently in one of those means, I guess. Maybe that's a bit of a stretch. Hopefully not, though. Faith is ordinarily produced and strengthened through the ministry of the Word. So I'll look at Romans chapter 10, 14 through 17. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So again, saving faith is a gift given to us, but there are means in which the Lord uses to produce that faith in us. The ministry of the word, right? That's the ordinarily, that gets its own sentence in the paragraph. Then we move on and we repeat the ministry of the word again, right? Double down, and some other things, the ordinances. So baptism and the Lord's Supper, those are means of saving faith. Those are visible, tangible ways that we see the gospel that saving faith believes in. And then prayer. So there's a commentary on the 1689. Some of you have seen. It's written, I can't remember what that font's called, but it's a modern exposition. Waldron is the last name, and he says, faith grows when applied and nourished by these means. But we must remember it's always ultimately a spirit-produced gift. So we need to put ourselves under these means and participate in these means, but it is always the power of the Spirit that grants us the ability to do that and then sustains us through those things. So Luke 17, verse 5, it's a real easy one. The apostles literally say to Jesus, increase our faith, right? So prayer, it's a pretty easy one. It's a thing we know we should do, and we see modeled by the apostles, who we would say have pretty solid faith at times. We are just called to ask the Lord, increase our faith. 1 Peter chapter 2, 2 through 3, talks about faith, how faith grows through feeding on God's word, like spiritual nourishment. It says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And then Acts chapter 20, verse 32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So God is sovereign in giving faith, but we are responsible to seek it through his appointed means. Right? So we know where this faith comes from. We know the source of it and what produces it. But we also know the means that he uses to grow it, to give it, and to grow it. Right? So when did God save us? Anybody? On the cross?
Started in
eternity past. Eternity past. Right? So before the foundation of the world, we were written in the book of life. But did we believe before the foundation of the world? No. There was a moment in time that the Holy Spirit convicted our hearts and gave us saving faith and enabled us to believe. Right? So all those things live together. So that's paragraph one, the nature and the means of faith. Any questions on paragraph one? Stan?
I was just going to comment about the experience, that moment of time is not always clear to us. You know, we don't always see exactly what's going on in our heart. Sometimes we get more clarity when we look back on it, but it's not always clear. Theologically, we know it's a moment in time, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we always experience it like that in a very clear way, just in our own subjective understanding.
Right. Anybody else? One other piece of preparing for this, the chapter is saving faith. But what is saving faith? Right, that's a pretty quick definition at the very beginning. We're going to move on to all the things that make up that saving faith, what it believes, what it does, things like that. But that's it. So just recapping, saving faith is a gift of grace from God, given and strengthened by ordinary means, right? And it allows us to love, trust, and depend on Jesus, not just to know these things. So paragraph two, again, I'm going to just read slowly with some emphasis here. By this faith, Christians believe to be true everything revealed in the Word, recognizing it as the authority of God Himself. They also perceive that the Word is more excellent than every other writing and everything else in the world, because it displays the glory of God and His attributes, the excellence of Christ in His nature and offices, and the power and fullness of the Holy Spirit in His activities and operations. So they are enabled to entrust their souls to the truth believed. They respond differently according to the context of each particular passage, obeying commands, trembling at the threatenings, and embracing the promises of God for this life and the one to come. But the principal acts of saving faith focus directly on Christ, accepting, receiving, and resting upon Him alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life by virtue of the covenant of grace. I mean, I kind of feel like I'm done teaching, right? Everything is there. But we'll talk a little bit about the nature of saving faith. Saving faith believes the truths revealed in Scripture. It is knowledge. We read the Scripture. One, let's take a step back. There's an assumption. We read the Scripture. We have to read it. We have to be in there to know what it says. And then we know what it says, and we believe it's true. Saving faith believes that Scripture is true. It acknowledges the Word's authority. The Word's authority, right? It believes that the things in Scripture are true, and it believes that they have authority over all life. Everything in the Scripture holds a place above every other writing, every other wisdom book, and every internal probing that comes to us. We submit all of those things to the Word of God. And it trusts and rests upon Christ. And it has to be all three of those things. It won't know every single doctrine. It won't know every single word of Scripture at all times and know how to put them together. But as those things are revealed to us, it believes them. And saving faith cannot disbelieve them. So one aspect of saving faith is that it does not reject Scripture. It does not reject the authority of Scripture. And it does not remove its trust from the Lord and put its trust on itself. So I will ask a few people to read here. We'll save you guys from hearing some of what I have to say. Anyway, Psalm 19, 7 through 10. Raise your hand if you can read something. John, I'll give you one. John, you want to read John 1:12 in a second? Psalm 19, 7 through 10. One more. Galatians 2:20. As y'all are looking those up, I'll start by reading Acts chapter 24, verse 14. It's an example of believing all that's written in God's Word. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law written in the prophets. All right, you have the Psalm 19, 7 through 10.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The precepts of the Lord are right.
Amen. That reveals the perfection and desirability of God's Word, right? The foundation for trusting Scripture. John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Visit us online at graceheritage.org for service times and other information.